All right, let's pray. Dear God, our Father, I ask that you would bless Dale as he speaks this morning, as he shares from your word, as he shares what you have laid on his heart. Dear God, I just ask that you would speak through him to us. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to listen. Help us to wait, to be quiet, and allow you to speak. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Now, we just got done praying. Did you pray? Or did you just listen? Or was it just something that you just sat through another prayer and meant nothing to you? Or did you connect? How do you do when you pray? And we're going to talk about prayer this morning. And let me start with this. What did we talk about last Sunday? What was something last Sunday that you took away from with the message or something that was here in the service last Sunday? Anybody? Wow. Nobody remembers anything from last Sunday. To speak evil of no man. I have a $5 Starbucks card, Amanda. And here's some of the reason. We do that. We go to church and we listen and then we literally forget. And the Bible talks about that, and I think he's talking about Christians. When you hear the word of God, you hear it, and one of the cases is Satan comes and steals it from you. Are you okay with that? Are you not okay with that? Obviously, Amanda was paying attention. And so that's why I did it. But we listen, we hear, and then we forget. And I'm not okay with that. And so are we going to start being proactive about learning things that God wants us to learn when we have opportunity to listen, when we have opportunity to hear, not just on a Sunday morning, but the Word of God? What do you do with the Word of God? Does it come into your ears and then you simply forget? And so, Lord, help us to remember and to start walking on that journey in learning and keep learning and be proactive in growing this morning. Before we start, this is just a little off something for next Sunday. Next Sunday, how many of you are planning to be here next Sunday? Raise your hand. I mean, if you know you're planning to be here, okay, all right. Next Sunday is Youth Connect, okay? And Youth Connect is held up at Reservoir Park, and the speaker is Sawyer. What's his first name? Tim. Am I saying it right? Sawyer? Tim Sawyer is going to be the speaker at Youth Connect next Sunday. And we as a church are invited to go there. But I know sometimes in the past, it wasn't very well attended by our church. And so I'm asking you, is that something you're interested in going to next Sunday morning? Instead of having a service here, we would join them up there at Reservoir Park. Yes, no. Yeah, I'm seeing a couple yes. Is there anyone that would rather not? Okay. All right. So we're going to do it next Sunday. Our service is going to be at Reservoir Park at 11 o'clock. Okay. It starts at 11 o'clock next Sunday morning at Reservoir Park. Youth Connect actually starts Friday evening. Goes into. Do you have any announcements on Youth Connect at all? Does he have a theme or anything that he's going to be talking about? What is the theme? Phony or faithful. All right, that sounds interesting enough just to go and listen to that. Okay, so that's next weekend, Friday night through Sunday. But us as a church, we'll meet there. Our worship service will be there at 11 o'clock, Reservoir Park. Everybody got that? And then 2 weeks from now is church camping. So we won't be here in 2 weeks from now as well. And if you have any questions about that, talk to Daniel and Marion are here. They should be able to answer your questions in regards to that. Anything else in regards as far as announcements? Okay. Perfect. Yes. Thank you, darling. For next weekend? Oh, sorry. I'm talking about. Okay, so Victoria is going to post on church Facebook in regards to food. Thank you for that, darling. But that reminded me, next Sunday for food, they have a meal provided there at Reservoir Park. But for us as Way of Jesus Fellowship, we are not to plan on eating there, okay? They have food, but it's for the youth and the staff that's there. So we're not going to plan on eating there. If there's plenty of food, if they're, and they won't decide until Sunday morning when they see how many people are there. If there's enough of food, we will, or they will make an announcement that we're welcome to stay for food. But don't plan on it. Got it? All right. God's will is exactly what we desire if we knew all the facts. I heard that quote this week, and I had to think about it a little bit, and I agree with that. But obviously, we don't know all the facts, but that's what God's will is. And we're going to talk about prayer a little bit this morning. And prayer is something that is really important. And it's awesome. Because take prayer out of your life, what would your life look like? Take prayer out of the kingdom of God. Take prayer out of just prayer being non-existent, what would it look like? And so we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. But even before I start, the definition of prayer is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. So most of us, we grow up, you know, just experiencing prayer. Prayer is just all around us. We pray at church. You know, maybe your parents pray. You pray. It's just part of your life. But really, what is prayer? How important is prayer? Are there good prayers? Are there bad prayers? Are there prayers that can be hindered? And we talked a little bit about that last Sunday some, and we're going to get to that verse just somewhere along the line here this morning. But prayer is also, in my interpretation, prayer is communicating with God, is what it is. You, as a person, connecting with God. And it is just an awesome idea. I mean, we have, you know, we have lots of good communication right now. We have Facebook, text, iPhone, you know, smartphones. I mean, stuff can happen pretty quick. We can communicate pretty quick. But if your phone goes down, we're out of commission pretty quick as well, right, as far as communication. And but this whole prayer thing that God's idea of prayer is just, it just blows all of our communication out of the water because it works all the time. It always worked. One of the first times we see prayer in the Bible is Genesis 3. And that's where we have Adam and Eve starting a conversation with God. At least from my understanding, if you're just thinking about communicating with God and praying with God and keeping that communication open, to me, that's some of the first places in Scripture where I see it would have been where Adam and Eve started communicating with God in Genesis chapter 3 when they just started talking to God. God started talking back to them. Before that, God always just spoke to them, and but now they're talking back. So prayer is something that you can get involved in, or you don't have to get involved in. It's your choice. God, when we talk about prayer, God is always in prayer. At least, you know, he always does, he's always on his side of it. And so when we think of prayer, God is always involved, at least for us as Christians. And but we don't have to. It's not in the commandment, thou shalt pray. It's not in the Ten Commandments. The greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not in there as well. But when I look at Scripture, it was basically overwhelming to me. Not, I don't want to say overwhelming. That's not the right word. I'm like, God, how do I take this big thing of prayer and bring it into something just this morning, because it is so huge. It's all over the Bible. There's literally lots and lots of verses we could go to this morning. And so I want to open that up to you. I know I brought it up last Sunday that I'm going to be talking about this, and I want to give you the opportunity to share. So is there something that a verse or something that you want to speak into in regards to prayer this morning? And can I have the mic, Sean? or Marcus. And the reason I'm asking is for people that are people that are listening in this morning. So make sure you talk into the mic. And I know Barb texted me this morning. She was going to hopefully be listening in. So Barb, if you are listening in, we want to bless you for your efforts and energies and labor in Haiti this morning. So thank you for listening in, and bless you as well. So what did you learn this week? I know I gave you an assignment last week. Is there something that you learned about prayer, a verse you wanted to share, a perspective on prayer that you want to bring in here as we get started? Carlo?
I wasn't here for the last week or so about what you taught, but about prayer. What I got from prayer and what I do get from prayer, I'm not getting anything right now. I don't know if I'm being heard. Now, I know prayer works because, you know, Steve prayed many prayers and it worked in my life. But prayers that I'm doing now to protect me and whatnot, it's not happening. So if you can give me some insight on why I'm not feeling the presence when I pray for not things to happen and it doesn't go my way, but when someone else prays for it not to happen or happen, it goes that way.
Thank you, Carl. That's some good stuff. Well, and I think we'll cover some of that stuff. Someone else.
So there's a verse in Isaiah 48 that I just love, and this was a verse that popped up as a verse of the day on my phone. And Isaiah 48:17, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. So what I got out of that, and I just thought of prayer, is it's God teaching me. It's an interaction with God. It's not just me coming to God saying, can you do this? Can you do this? I have this problem. I have that problem. It's about God teaching me. And I love that perspective of prayer.
Thank you, Ernie. Very good. Someone else.
It's not really a verse or even a perspective necessarily, but a testimony. One of the guys at work that has been with me for a while, he's been going through a lot of medical issues. His partner had died a couple months back, and he's going through a lot of depression. And this was probably back in the end of July. I wasn't at work for a couple of days, and he called me up one day, really depressed, really low, was struggling with the thoughts of suicide. And so I just prayed for him over the phone, and I didn't hear from him for a couple of days then. And just this week, I had a meeting with him, and he said, you don't know what the power that did to my life. He said he only remembers two people ever praying for him. And it really started a seed there, so.
Thank you, Dave, for that, and thank you for taking time to pray for him and with him and just being that second person, and hopefully that started a journey of prayer. And I know I said this already before. I don't have scripture to back this up, but this is just something I believe. I don't think there's going to be anyone in heaven that hasn't been prayed for. I think somewhere along the line, in order for people to become Christians, somebody is praying for them. That's just, you may take that or leave it. You may say that's not accurate. It's up for debate. But I just think that's how powerful prayer is. And I think when we pray for a person, when we pray for people, it obviously makes a difference. So bless you, Dave. Someone else.
A verse in James 5. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. So there's two things I think of is, first of all, you don't have to be a superpower or super spiritual in order to pray to God. He was human. Elijah was a man. So all of us can. But the other thing that's part of that is that he had a relationship with God. And so I think that that's something we need to focus on in order to, I'm going to say, have our prayers heard. We need to have a relationship, have open communication with God.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree with that. And we'll be talking about that just in a little bit with some scriptures. Someone else? Okay. If not, that's fine. Here you go, Marcus. Thank you for that. We are going to look at several scriptures, and like I talked about, I believe prayer actually started back in Genesis. And you look through the Old Testament, and you see people just crying out to God. You see people praying, just communicating with God. And you know, I'm just going to pick. I have some verses this morning, but I really believe this is just minority. I mean, the verses that I'm going to talk about are just a small portion of the verses that talk about prayer, because it's such a huge thing in Scripture. We look at Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer. We're going to look at his life just a little bit as well. Just as some verses here that I'm going to read, and I'm not going to make a whole lot of comments because they don't need a whole lot of commenting. Some of these verses are just clear. This is Scripture. This is the Word of God. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It says, call to me. Call to me. And I will answer you. And show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Psalm 34, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The eyes of the Lord. We know God is looking over all the earth. But in Psalm specifically, it says, the eyes of the Lord, they're on the righteous. And his ears are attentive to their cry. So a righteous person, God's ears are attentive to your cry, is what the Bible says. David says in Psalm 66:18, the opposite here. He says, David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Really? That's what it says. If I regard, thank you, Sean, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, what does it mean to regard iniquity? And what it means here, this regarding iniquity here, it means, because you could say, okay, regarding iniquity, what is that? Is that just sinning? I mean, you know, the Bible says we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so does that mean we have iniquity in our heart or regarding iniquity? Regarding iniquity here means, it means cherishing sin. It means holding on to sin or not wanting to let go. So, if you cherish your sin, if you're holding on to your sin, or if you're not letting go, is what this verse means. If that's you, the Lord will not hear. He's not going to hear you. You can pray and pray and pray, but according to the Scripture, he's not going to hear you. Psalm 28, verse 9. One who turns away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. That's pretty strong stuff. I mean, we're talking about prayer this morning. We're talking about praying to a God who loves us. We're talking about praying to someone that we know has all the power and authority. But this scripture says, if you turn away your ear, if I turn away my ear from hearing the law or from being obedient to Scripture, my prayer will be an abomination. That's some pretty strong stuff. I don't want my prayers to be an abomination. But according to this scripture, if I turn away my ear from hearing the law, or in other words, if I'm disobedient to Scripture, I know what Scripture is, and I'm disobedient, according to this verse, my prayers will be an abomination. 1 Peter 3, and we talked about this some last Sunday as well, but I want to dive into this a little bit again. From a different perspective, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with this amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, here we go, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And if you were here last Sunday, we had this verse, Steve talked about this verse as well, but he was coming more from the perspective of honoring. We talked a lot about honor last Sunday. So we have husbands, you know, dwell with understanding. You honor your wife as a weaker vessel. And being heirs together, we talked about that a little bit as well. Being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so husbands, our prayers can be hindered by not honoring our wives as well. And I'm going to give you two examples here of couples, okay? We're going to have a couple A and we're going to have a couple B. And this couple A, they got married, but basically what they do, they communicate, but they only communicate whenever it's necessary. Whenever the husband needs something, he'll ask the wife for something. Or whenever the wife needs something, she'll ask her husband for something. Okay, they'll wake up in the morning and, you know, maybe have a good day. The husband leaves for work. He tells his wife, have a good day. And that's it. He goes to work. There's no communication at all during the day. He does his thing. She's doing her thing. He comes home from work. They sit at the table and they just have just a little bit of conversation going on. You know, hey, what did you do today? How was your day? But that's about it. The evening, there's very little communication unless the husband wants something. Hey, wife, can you get something for me and bring it to me? Or the wife says to the husband, hey, husband, you go get something and bring it to me. There's the conversation is only whenever something is necessary and when they want something. That's couple A. Couple B, same deal, husband and wife, but they communicate with each other on all angles of life. They talk about things, what they're struggling with, what their joys are. They wake up and they, you know, what are you doing today? They're interested in each other. They're texting each other during the day. And, you know, how's your day going? What's going on? There's communication happening all during the day. They come to supper. They talk. They go to bed and they, you know, just talk some more about things. The communication is just as good as it could be. Now, do you see a difference between couple A and couple B? Do you think couple A or couple B are going to have a better marriage? Couple B. Absolutely. Why? They're in tune with each other. They're in tune with each other. You're exactly right. And I agree with you. But how do we, are we couple A or couple B with God when it comes to our prayer life? Remember, prayer is communicating with God. And do we do like couple A to where we just pray when we need something? We'll pray when we wake up and ask God to bless our day, and us guys will go to work and we won't pray until we come home and we pray for supper. And then that's it. We go to bed because we're tired. And our communication with God was only on the basis of things that we needed. Or are we like couple B, to where we have a relationship, we're communicating with God throughout the day? Will there be a difference? Absolutely. And so which person are you? Which person do you want to be? And I'm looking at prayer as something that's so vital. We look at Jesus' life. We're going to look at Jesus' life just in a little bit, of how prayer was such a vital part of his life. And the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. I think that describes couple B very well. Just all throughout the day, something comes up, you share with God, you reveal to God that, hey, I'm struggling, this really stinks, or this is just going great, you know, thank you for your joy. There's just a lot of things that you can communicate with God, and God's interested in it. He is. So, bringing back to husbands and wives and just, you know, using that as an example of how you deal with your wife, also, how do you deal with God? How is your prayer life with God? Do you want to improve? Are you okay how it is? Do we just simply wake up, God bless my day, I'm in a hurry, and then we go, and then we simply don't talk to God until maybe the end of the day? Or is it just all day, you're just communicating, connecting with God? It's up to you. It really is. Because God is always there. God will do his part. But it's up to us to do our part. We need to make the choice. Matthew 6, verse 5 says this. If I can get there real quick. Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus is teaching about prayer here, okay? And in verse 5, he comes in. And again, this is Jesus teaching it. And the second word, it says, and when you pray, not if you pray, or, you know, he's saying when you pray, expecting the prayer. When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Surely I say unto you, they have their reward. Keep going, Sean. But you, when you pray, go into your room, when you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in heaven. Pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who's in the secret place will reward you openly. That's good. So, now let's just keep it there, Sean. So here he's saying, don't pray this way, but pray this way, okay? He's saying, don't do as the hypocrites, because they love to pray, bringing attention to themselves. They like to make sure people see that they're praying. And Jesus saying, he saw right through that one. Don't pray that way. When you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. Now, how do we do that? Does this mean that we really have to go into our room? My truck doesn't have a room. Or whatever you're driving, you know, if you're outside in the woods, you can't just go to a room and pray. What does he mean here by going into a room and shutting the door? I don't think he means a literal door. I think what he means here is when you pray, learn to shut out the unnecessary things that hinder your prayer. Have a place in your mind or to where you can come, and when you pray, you can really focus and shut the door on all the things, on all the distractions. I'm going to use that term. So Jesus says, when you pray, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And I'm in this one. I need to learn to shut out the things that are distracting, because when I pray, there's an awful lot of distractions that come in really quick, time and time and time again. Look at it from Satan's perspective. If he knows prayer is powerful, what's he going to target? Pretty simple. Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Talk about couple B. That's couple B. Communicating all day long. Luke 5:16. And the next two verses are just some verses about Jesus himself. Okay, Luke 5:16 says this. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. And then in Mark 1:35, it says, in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, he went and prayed. These are just two verses of Jesus' life. But Jesus obviously modeled prayer, of the importance of prayer. And you look at how busy Jesus was in his 3 years of ministry from 30 to 33. Very busy life, extremely busy life. I use the excuse sometimes that I'm too busy. And I look at Jesus' life, and Jesus had an incredibly busy life, but yet he took time to pray. He knew the power in prayer. And I want to experience, and I want each one of us to experience more power in prayer, to where we need this, to where we get into the position to where if we have to get up earlier, we'll get up earlier. That's what Jesus did, because it affected him so greatly. Matthew 26, verse 41. Do our prayers get answered? They do? Do all your prayers get answered? Good. All right. That's great. The Bible talks a lot about faith as well. But we're going to look at Jesus' life in Matthew 26, 41. Jesus prayed something, and Jesus asked something, and it didn't get answered. Really? Yeah. Check it out. In Matthew 26, verse 41, this was when Jesus, just before the crucifixion, when he was in the garden. I'm going to jump into verse 41. And cometh unto his disciples, and he finds them asleep, and he said unto them, what, can't you watch for 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, this is what he prayed. Here's his prayer. O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left and went away again. And it said he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Three times Jesus prayed this. Father, remove this cup from me. And it didn't happen. But that's not all he prayed. He prayed that the cup gets removed from him, but afterward he said, not my will, but your will. And that is huge when it comes to prayer. Recognizing who we're praying to, the God of creation can see the whole picture. And yes, Jesus asked that this cup would be removed, but then he said, you know what, God, if it doesn't get removed, your will be done. And you know what was happened? You know what happened? God's will was done. So, the second part did get answered, because God's will was done. And so I'm looking at that, and we pray a lot of things. We pray for a lot of things. And sometimes I pray for things that I need to happen a certain way, and they don't happen a certain way. But am I okay with that? Am I in a position where I can really say, where I can really have something difficult like Jesus did and say, God, remove this thing. I don't want to go through this. And I just simply stop there. I just say, God, move this. Hey, this hurts me. It's hurting. Move it. And it doesn't get moved. And I forget to pray. You know what, God? Your will be done. God is sovereign. God sees the whole picture. Remember to the quote that I opened up with is, God's will is exactly what we desire if we know all the facts. Now, the thing is, we don't know all the facts. And on this earth, we won't know all the facts. But God does know all the facts. And so when we pray and we can ask God's will to be done, his will can be done because he sees the whole picture. The other thing that's interesting here is specific prayer. Jesus was very specific here on what he prayed for. He said, Father, remove this cup from me. He told him. So let's look at specifics a little bit. In Luke 18, I love this story in Luke 18. And I'm going to turn there just real quick. And we're going to look at that story. Luke 18. Excuse me. verse 35. And it came to pass, this is when Jesus is going to heal a blind beggar. It came to pass that as he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And he heard the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Remember, he was blind. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on him, on me. And they went before him and rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou have me to do? Are you kidding me? This is Jesus. And a blind man comes up to him and says, you know, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus is like, what do you want me to do? Could Jesus not see that he was blind? Absolutely he could see that he was blind. But this guy was very specific. And so Jesus asked him, he said, what should I do? Verse 41, it's saying, what would they have me to do? And he said, Lord, I want to see that I may receive my sight. And Jesus answered his prayer. And Jesus healed him. And so I think there's some things to where Jesus wants us to be specific in our prayer life. What do you want me to do? And Jesus hanging on the cross was specific with his praying. Now, there's a lot of other times in Scripture. This is just one scenario. There's a lot of other times in Scripture where Jesus, you know, saw the need and he healed it. I'm not here to say just, you know, you have to have, if you don't know how to pray specifically, then you don't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But I do want to, what I want to learn from it, if there's something I want specifically, ask God specifically for it. I think he's interested in specifics. I really do. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. There's the according to his will part again. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, how do we always know his will? How do we learn more of his will? And I think it's by taking time in reading the Word of God and communicating with him that we can learn his will. You don't communicate with God, you don't read the Word, you don't dive into the Word, finding his will is going to be very difficult, I believe. And here it says, we have confidence in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. James 1, verse 6 through 8 talks about asking in faith. Actually, I'm just going to read that real quick. I just have a couple more verses here, and then we're going to wrap it up, because I'm hoping there's going to be some good discussion as well in our prayer times on prayer. But James 1, verse 6 to 8 says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a sea driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So faith is involved here as well. And faith is something that's difficult, I think, for us sometimes to wrap our mind around. But prayer requires faith. James is saying here, you need to ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, you're wavering. Okay? And he says, it's like a wave. It's driven from the wind, and it's tossed. And then verse 7 says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. And so maybe you're saying, well, hey, I don't have a whole lot of faith in praying. The Bible talks about asking God to increasing your faith. There's a specific that you can ask God for. If you see you want more faith, ask God, increase my faith. Okay? That's what James is talking about. And a couple of chapters later in James 4, verse 3, talking about God not answering prayers. Okay? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts and your members? Ye lust, you have not. You kill, you desire to have, and you cannot attain. You fight, you war, yet you don't have not. You ask, what I'm going to put it in my own words here. You're asking God, but it's not happening. Verse 3, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lusts. What James is saying here, you ask and you don't receive. And the reason you're not receiving is because you're asking with the wrong motive, in my words. Because you ask amiss, or in other words, you're asking for maybe your personal gain, maybe someone else's personal gain. You're asking with the wrong intent and your wrong motive. And so, Carlo, back to the thing. You asked a great question earlier, and I asked myself this question. When I pray for something and it doesn't answer, and I don't get an answer, here's one thing that I want to ask myself is, when God doesn't answer a prayer, am I asking with the wrong motive? Is there something that I'm asking you to do for my personal gain and not God's will? So that's one thing, in regards to your question, Carl. And that was just a great question, because it's a question I deal with as well. You know, in praying, why didn't this prayer get answered? And so then take that situation, and break it down and really ask, why am I praying what I'm praying? Maybe it'll give you some insight and some light onto why God's not answering it. Luke 11. I'm going to just a couple more verses here, then we're going to wrap it up. But again, there's just so many things. And I'm sure there's probably some verses that you're thinking about that I didn't hit, because there's just so many verses on prayer. And but in Luke 11, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, this is talking about Jesus. Jesus was praying. When he ceased, one of his disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And this is a great question. Obviously, when I look at this, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And so Jesus modeled prayer very well. And so when he stopped praying, it just says one of his disciples. I don't know where all the rest of his disciples were, if they didn't think about it. But obviously this one, it doesn't say which one. But one of his disciples came and said, Jesus, teach me how to do that. And I don't know what was all behind that question. But nevertheless, he says, teach me to pray, as John taught. And then in verse 2, it says, Jesus goes on and prays, when ye pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Do you see this in this here of what you're saying when you say, when you're praying about God's will be done? It says, hallowed be your name. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. There's not a whole lot of personal agenda in that prayer. Actually, none. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on the earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's another one that, that's an area that I didn't even get into at all this morning. But is there the thing of, there's several different scriptures that talk about living in a state of unconfessed sin. If you're living in a state of unconfessed sin, your prayers are going to be hindered as well. And there in Jesus' prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so I look at that in Jesus' prayer here as well. That's a vital part of it. And he just hit it. And this here, you could have a whole study in itself. I love the prayer of Jesus. But you can do that sometime. Just one more thing that in regards to prayer, and this comes out of Luke 18, and that I want to talk about this morning, that is important when it comes to prayer. And I'm going to take this out of a parable. Jesus is telling a parable here in Luke 18. And it says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Isn't that cool? Okay. So this is Jesus saying, hey, you guys should always pray and not faint and not lose heart. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he wasn't for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual wearing she come unto me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Here what I want to see is, I see persistence is what I want to put in this scripture here in this story. This widow was so persistent, and the judge got tired of it, and finally he said, okay, you can have your wish. Being persistent in prayer, I think, has lots of value. Sometimes we just pray, and God doesn't answer, and so we quit. But Jesus is saying, he's teaching a parable here, keep pressing in. Let's keep being persistent. Keep pushing. This is specifically about prayer, I believe is what this parable is. And back in 1873, there was a story just about, this was about 7 or 8 years after the Civil War. There was a lady in the UK. Her name was Marion Attlard. And she was, from what I understood, had some either a cripple or had some physical disabilities. And she started praying for something for her church. Her church was New Court Congregational Church was the name of her church. It was in the UK. And she started praying for something specifically. And she started praying and praying. And what happened in 1873, D.L. Moody was on a trip in the UK. And he was traveling. And this wasn't necessarily in his travel plans. This wasn't necessarily in his area where he was going. But he somehow he had an invitation to come up to this New Court Congregational Church. And he wasn't sure why all of a sudden he's kind of jumping out of the way here to go to this church. But he felt, I can't clarify the story for sure, if someone called him and asked or if he just went on the leading of the Spirit, I'm not sure. But he ended up in this church. And he preached in this church. And there was an incredible revival. There was about 300 people came to know Christ that weekend through that revival. And so he went back on his journey again and still didn't realize exactly what all happened. Why, you know, what this took place. Why he just kind of jumped out of his way until he learned about this Marion Attlard. This Marion Attlard from, I don't know if she was a widow or not, but she was praying for years for revival in her church. She kept praying and praying and praying and praying. In 1873, it happened through D.L. Moody. And so 300 people that weekend came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through a lady that was persistent in prayer. True story. And so I look at the story here in Luke 18. I think when I look at this, you know, we're talking about persistence, not giving up, not fainting. And James 5, verse 16, one more verse, it says, the prayer of the righteous man. King James says, avails much. Some versions say, is powerful and effective. Now, I think of some things that don't work. And whether it's at my work, whether it's at home, whatever you're doing, there's some things that are effective and some things are not. You know, if you're trying to clean the floor, water and soap would be effective. Something sticky would not be effective. But James says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So first of all, it takes prayer, but the prayer of a righteous man is another thing as well. Righteous men that pray, their prayer is powerful, and it's effective, so it works. So what's the bottom line here this morning? Okay, we're talking about prayer. We looked at just a couple verses here. How do we get better at this? And probably most of us live in properties to where you have grass, and the grass grows, right? And now you can read about grass. You can read about fertilizers. You can read about how to make your grass grow better. You can read about the different kinds of grass. And you can also pick up books on mowers that cut the grass. You know, this mower does it this way. You have push mowers, all kinds of stuff. You can learn a lot about your grass. But the bottom line is your grass isn't going to get cut unless you cut it. You got to get the mower and mow it. Then it's going to get cut. It doesn't matter how much you know about your grass. Same way for cleaning a house, whatever. Your house might be dirty. You can know about the best cleaners. You can read about cleaners. You can, do all kinds of things on learning about how to clean a house, how to properly clean a house, Google it or whatever. But the bottom line is your house isn't going to get cleaned unless someone cleans it. That's what I see about prayer. We can learn about prayer this morning. We can talk about prayer this morning. The bottom line is you need to pray, period. That's what it comes down to. You need to pray. And so that's what I want to leave us with here this morning, talking about prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is effective. But we need to pray. It doesn't matter how much we know about it. Yes, I think it is important to learn about it, to talk about it. But the bottom line is simply pray. Just communicate with God. Be like that couple B that communicates with God throughout the day and just has that vital relationship with God. So bless you in your journey on praying and praying for each other. Intercessory prayer, praying for yourself. There's all kinds of different styles of prayers that we talk about, but the bottom line is to pray. So, just to get down and do it. Bless you.